are looking at a passage of Scripture out of Matthew 14. It is part of the lectionary reading for this week. The lectionary being that reading that we do across the world, actually. Several denominations will engage it as a process of reading through the Scripture, of understanding the stories in a regular pattern. And we as Methodists love a regular pattern, don't we? And so I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to read starting with the 13th verse. It says this: "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowd heard it, they followed him on foot from the town. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' Jesus said to them, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They replied, 'We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 basketfuls. And those who ate were 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to the Lord." You know, I love Matthew 14. I said that. Now, I really encourage you to go home and read the whole chapter, because I think this is one of those chapters, and it's actually in one of those sections of Scripture that really teaches us a lot about who we are as humans and who Jesus or God is. And it also talks a lot about our interaction, our human interaction with God. For example, if you just look at chapter 14, it begins with this story that's really sadly about human nature. It's the story of the death of John the Baptist. And in that story, we see probably some of the most horrible characteristics there are, of greed, of selfishness, of power-hungry people, of brutality. It is the worst of the human condition. And then we move into the story that we're talking about today, the story of the 5,000 on the mountainside. And we see this instance of when the crowd hears about the death of John the Baptist, they move toward Jesus. Maybe they moved out of the curiosity, the same reason people gather at a crowd or a site or watch the news, right? Maybe they just wanted to see what would happen, what was going on. Or maybe they came to surround him with love and comfort and to support him. For sure, they came bringing their sicknesses, their illness, their lame, their needy. We're also told that the human characteristic there is that sometimes we just get really physically hungry, don't we? And just need a meal, just need to be fed, need to sleep, need to rest, need to be still. And then we see the last story, and again, I really want to encourage you to read the whole chapter, because the last story is the story of when there's the storm on the sea, and the disciples express a truly human characteristic of fear. See, I've been on the Sea of Galilee in a storm, and it can be quite chaotic. The water can rush up over the edges of a boat in modern days. I can't imagine what they were doing to those small fishing boats. They can get pretty stormy out there. And these disciples expressed something that I know I expressed myself, which is fear, afraid. Scared for their lives is an expression we say, right? But then there's that moment they see Jesus walking on the water. The moment they see Jesus calm the storm. And I think in that moment they're filled with wonder and awe. Maybe they're even filled with that feeling that you got when you sang, "Holy, holy, holy. For the beauty of the earth. And why is it well with your soul? Because he is alive. And he can walk on water," right? And you worship because we're humans. But it also tells us a whole bunch about God, doesn't it? I mean, first we learn that when Jesus hears the news of John the Baptist, he goes off to be alone. He goes off to sit with the Father and the Spirit in this sweet communion that they have, this Trinitarian thing we don't quite understand, but he goes alone with the Spirit and the Father. We also see in this passage, Jesus is a healer. He has compassion, and he heals their sick. He cures them. He makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. And the deaf to hear. He meets their needs. And then Jesus miraculously, and I can't imagine what happened, can't imagine this to save my life, but he takes that bread and he multiplies it. God makes more than was there. And he feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. Who knows how many people it was total. And then isn't it quite amazing that our God not only can walk through a storm, but he can stop it from happening? He can stop it, calm it, make it be still. This is a God of power and wonder. This is a God who can do great and marvelous things. That's why Matthew 14 is so wonderful. But I want us to look at just a particular part of the humans and the God in this story. The interaction specifically between Jesus and the disciples. Now remember, think about it. How did their day begin? Their day began with some really bad, horrible news. Jesus, their leader, his cousin, and the forerunner, and the person who baptized him, has been brutally killed. Now, some of the disciples had followed John. These were people who loved John. And John has been killed. That's the first thing in the morning. You ever had a morning like that? Those are bad mornings, aren't they? And the Bible says that they tried to get away, but the crowd followed them. And so now, on one of the worst days they could possibly be having, there's this crowd of 5,000 people, 5,000 men, plus women and children. Some scholars estimate up to 10,000 people. And the 12 disciples and Jesus are trying to manage those people. Now, I want to tell you, Nolan and John have been trying to manage y'all all morning, and they have signs, and they have slides, and they have videos. And the disciples didn't have any of that. Disciples didn't have anything but grass. And I can only imagine how toward the end of the day, those disciples were very tired. They were done, right? You've been there. And not only that, but now they're recognizing that these people are hungry. Now see, the disciples have chosen to leave their careers, leave their homes, leave their beds, leave everything they have and follow Jesus, and Jesus doesn't have a home, doesn't have a bed to sleep in, and neither do they. And the truth is, we're not even sure where they got their food from day to day to day to day. And so here they are, tired and hungry themselves, looking at 5,000+ people who are also tired and hungry. Can you imagine? And so they walk over to Jesus, and they say what any good Christian churchgoer would say. This is a deserted place. The hour is late. Send the crowds away so they may go into the village and find something to eat. Send them away, Jesus. Make them go away. And Jesus looks at them and says, nope, we're not going to send them away. You give them something to eat. Now, if I'm one of those disciples, I'm a little frustrated at Jesus. I look around at my friends, and we talk among ourselves for a second, and then we turn back to Jesus, and we say, But Jesus, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That is not going to feed these people. We do not have enough resources. We can't do it. And Jesus looks at him and says, bring it to me. I want you to think about these disciples for a minute. Think about us for a minute. Think about the human nature for a minute. One preacher from a Lutheran church in Indiana, he described the disciples and us like this. And don't we sound like the disciples sometimes? We don't have enough bread. Whether that means time, money, energy, willingness, ability, faith, love, compassion, or whatever. We're skeptical. We're pessimistic. We're preoccupied. We're distracted, lazy, uninspired, selfish, insecure, unconvinced, just like the disciples were that day. A lot of times, if you're anything like me, you're just downright full of excuses. Have you felt overwhelmed at times lately? I have. Have you felt like you didn't know what to do or how to do it? I have. But here's the thing. Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring me whatever you have. Bring it to me. And then Jesus takes the bread and the fish, and he breaks it, and he gives it back to the disciples, and he tells the disciples to go and give it out to the people. You give them something. I would tell you, when I was about 25 years old, and I use this story just because it's so big in my brain, the memory. It was a night when there was a tropical depression kind of coming in, rolling ashore. You've been through those if you've lived in this area where the weather just starts getting worse and worse and you're not really sure what's going to happen. Is this storm going to get bigger? Am I the one that's going to be affected by it? I mean, it's just a mess, right? The wind's blowing, the rain's coming, the lightning, the thunder. And I just want to tell you, I had a toddler and a 7-year-old at home. It was crazy. It was chaos. And I felt in my spirit that the Lord told me to take dinner to this lady. Somebody laughed. They've had this experience too, I bet. And I want to tell you, I didn't necessarily like the lady. I'm trying to be transparent with you. I didn't really like her, but the Lord was saying, I need you to take her dinner. And in that moment, my feeling was, there is no way. It is storming. I have children. My husband's not home. I cannot pack these girls up in the car. And just on and on the list was going, right? I'm not even sure I have enough dinner left over to take her. I'm just, no, right? I am just like full of excuses. And about an hour into this debate I'm having with God, my husband comes in the door early. He thought he should come home because of the storm. And suddenly I knew I had no more excuses, right? So I packed up the dinner. What's interesting was I actually even had some leftover floral napkins from something we'd done at the church. And so it wasn't even just a dinner. It was a nice looking little dinner. And I took it to the lady. Now I want to tell you, there wasn't any spontaneous miracle moment in that. You know, she didn't just come to know the Lord right away, or she didn't just change overnight. But I did a little bit, you know? Because I did what God told me to do. And I know she experienced two things. One, she experienced love in a way she really wasn't expecting. And number two, she was fed. She wasn't going to have dinner that night, and that dinner was her dinner. You give them something to eat is what I heard God say to me that night. Now, I want to tell you, folks, I'm with you. It's overwhelming right now. We are living in one of the most chaotic times that I've lived in my life. As an American citizen, there's this pandemic, and as we were talking about it before, you don't know. Some days I'm like, oh, everything's going to be okay, and this is going to work out, and we're just going to wear our face masks for one more week, two more weeks, and everything will be fine. And then the next day, I'm just like in a spin, right? Just trying to figure out how to do it all and how to make this happen and how are we going to ever be able to afford this and where are the finances? And it just goes on and on. Not to mention the political system in this nation is all upside down, inside out, crazy. The system is bad. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying the system's crazy, right? And I don't know about you, but I spend about half the time, well, maybe a little more than half the time, I'd say a lot of the time, being really torn over the fact that there is still racism in the 21st century in America. It overwhelms me. But then I am brokenhearted for my friends who are policemen and first responders who are afraid to do their job. What kind of world are we living in, folks? Right? And I don't want to depress you, but the list goes on and on and on. Not to mention that I bet every one of you can name someone right now who you know is lonely and hurting. Someone who maybe doesn't have enough food. Someone who needs a card or a phone call. And y'all, we could be like the disciples. When they start off this story, they're tired. They're done. They're ready to say no and go home. Or we can be like the disciples at the end of the story. Because see, at the end of the story, the disciples do what Jesus asked. He says, bring the loaves and fish to me. And they give him the loaves and the fish. They give him all that they have, the little that they have. And Jesus takes it, and the Bible says he looks up to heaven, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and somehow five loaves of bread and two fish feed 5,000 plus people. And I don't care what kind of math you're doing. I don't care what kind of portion control you have in your life. You can get 12-foot long loaves of bread and cut them up as tiny as you want, and it still doesn't feed 5,000 plus people. Not to mention the fact that the Bible says they were satisfied and there were 12 basketfuls left. And then what do disciples do? They clean up the mess. They pack it up. we take it home. See, folks, I believe that you and I are called, like the disciples, to give them something to eat. Now, that may look like taking food to a neighbor. That may look like writing a card to someone in need or someone who is lonely. That may mean making a phone call. It may mean calling Congress. It may mean getting involved in your education programs and your systemic problems here in this area. I don't know what it means for you, but it means doing something. It means giving all that we have over to Jesus, over to God, because here's the secret, folks. The disciples don't do the miracle. You don't have to do the miracle. We don't have to solve the problem. We don't have to have the cure. God's got it. God's the miracle worker. Jesus performed the multiplication part, not the disciples. So today it's my prayer for you and for I and for everybody watching out in the wide world of the internet that we give the people something to eat. That we do what God is asking of us to do. And again, I don't know what it is for all of you, but I do believe it's something. So let's do it. Let us pray. Holy God, I believe that every person in this room, every one of us, has something that you are asking us to bring to you. Maybe it's a resource, maybe it's our very self, maybe it's our voices, maybe it's our prayers, but something you are asking of us to do, to give to you that you can use it. And so I pray, Lord God, that we would be willing and faithful to do it, and that you would use us in mighty and powerful ways to give this world something to eat. Come, Holy Spirit, and anoint us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.